and Jake talking about whatever the hell that was. And Jake's already frozen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I'm up here in Reading. So
why? Reading?
Listen, it's where friends are. Friends and fun and good cheer.
Yeah, in the militia. Okay. So the 49ers lost. That's not new.
Shocker.
We're going to wait a while to do our victory lap on Ricky Pearsall.
No, we're not.
Okay. So we've been telling everybody so for more than a minute now. And this is – let me just say this off the jump. This is the exact reason why Brock Purdy plays in a game like today. We'll get into the injury. But you play him because you need to see this game from Ricky Pearsall before training camp next year. You have a team that plays more man-to-man than anybody else in the NFL. They did exactly that in this game. I know they're banged up. I know they have no pass rush, but they're going to compete for the one seed in the NFC on Sunday. And the idea that you just phone this one in, you needed to see it. We needed to see what we have been seeing on film breakthrough to manifest into success. And it did. He was absolutely fantastic in this game. He was the best player on the field for the 49ers and in the running with the best player on the field.
The only two targets that Ricky Pearsall did not catch, overthrow and one where a safety broke on it and undercut it. Only two targets out of 10 he did not catch. The rest were stellar. Had a one-hander, toe drag down the sideline, had the touchdown. I mean, Kyle said it.
A 39-yarder, a 40-yarder. They ran two plays where he was supposed to throw the ball. He made good decisions on those, unlike a quarterback.
He did make a good decision as a quarterback where he had the ball and he threw it away.
The dude's a player, and you can only see him get open so much before it starts to be a reflection of incompetence on the 49ers that they weren't able to get him the ball. And I'm glad to see, and this is a reflection of everybody, not just Pearsall. I'm glad to see that Brock and Kyle and this 49ers offensive staff went, we can beat man-to-man. We just have to make him the focal point. We got to cool it with the Juwan Jennings shit. They played Conley to start the game. We got to just stop pretending that Debo is anything here other than a gadget player. He needs to be – it's Kittle and Pearsall and Garendo when you play against man-to-man defenses. And guess what? It was Kittle, Pearsall, and Garendo today. And Brock Purdy throws for 377 yards, and they lose the game because he makes two very bad decisions. But he
and because their kicker doesn't make a single kick, which, go for it.
It's over.
I actually do think there is. I think what you do is you take him into training camp and you bring in someone else and you just kick it out.
Yeah.
And because here's the thing, like rookie kickers, young kickers are notoriously long to develop. That's tough. He looks like garbage, but he also came off an injury, you know, a bad high ankle sprain that he came back probably too soon.
Don't play. Stop.
Correct.
Stop. Like, why are you in this game? Only to you're not serving yourself at all. If you're Jake Moody, you've now missed your first extra point. You were horrendous on kickoffs. You botch your onside kick like nobody's business. it was unbelievable how bad.
Let me just say, missed kicks. I'm like, rough. These are ugly. This is pretty hard to watch. The onside kick, I went, oh boy.
Oh, but Mitch does that. Well, Mitch hasn't been around for a minute. Maybe he does a little extra practice. Just a thought.
It's tough.
So he did nothing with effect. And he's now missed 8 of his 18 field goals since he came back. This is not tenable, Jake. This is cut tomorrow. And they won't do it, and they shouldn't do it. But this is not functional. This is bad coaching to continuously run him out there as part of the sunk cost fallacy of, well, we use pick 99 on him. Well, you use pick 3 on Trey Lance. You had no problem admitting when you were wrong and moved off him. This guy isn't good. Let him figure it out somewhere else.
Maybe. I Yeah, it's tough to go into next season and feel good about him as your kicker. I'm not going to debate that. I'm just saying he was productive. He was shaky his rookie year, but he was productive.
Yeah.
He's got a good leg. He was the best kicker in that draft. I mean, drafting him in the third round, I was for it.
Many
people disagreed. But, I mean, he's probably going to go somewhere else and be successful. Or he sucks. Or he just outright sucks.
I don't care what he does. Like, he has to go from here. Because it'd be one thing if there was ever evidence that being pick 99 provided you some upside that no other kicker that you can pick off the street has. And yet when Matthew Wright comes in, he looks just as good, if not better. You know,
And he doesn't look good.
No, none of these guys are prime Justin Tucker or Harrison Butker, but like the idea that a Chase McLaughlin or who's the kid who missed the field goal the other day for the Bengals out of Memphis? Cade York missed one. And then was it Atlanta? Yeah, Atlanta's field goal kicker who came up like way short the other night. Pick number 99 in the draft looks like every other street free agent kicker. Every one of them.
Yeah, that's fair. No debate there.
Meanwhile, the two best kickers in the league right now are former soccer players who are trying it on a whim in Bates, who I think there's something up with Bates. He was stretching out all funky and stuff, but like he was playing for the Michigan Panthers of the UFL.
You've never lied down on a softball to roll something out? I have.
No, I absolutely have. But, I mean, it would explain why I wouldn't be good at kicking, because he did not have a good game. He missed extra point.
I'll just say for the broadcast, I've hit a 50-yarder before. I had the wind at my back. But I'm just saying, if anyone can physically hit a 50-yarder, it doesn't bode well if the guy you drafted 99th overall is going push, pull, panic, where you go, oh, he clearly just overcorrected there.
Yeah.
That's
tough. I don't understand that if this is not the kind of game that loses you your job, like what kind of compromising photos do you have? Like there's no kicker that can survive this. If Justin Tucker was on a stretch where he missed 8 of his last 18 kicks.
He was in a pretty bad stretch this year.
But he was never this bad. Never. And that he couldn't get kickoffs to the 10. And by the way, not on purpose. Just couldn't get him there. And then not a lot of practice on onside kicks, but does it so poorly that it's now a laughable moment in the 49ers season. And then, I mean, what else? Miss an extra point? At least the one thing you can count on with Jake Moody is he's always make his extra points. I mean, it's done. It's done. It's over. He wasn't even the best kicker in camp this year. Vizcaino was. You watch him and you're like, oh, this guy's pretty good. That should have been the red flag of, oh, no, we've made a mistake. We better move off this before it gets worse. And then it got worse. We're talking
about it. It's not good. My only excuse for him is the injury if he's not right. And I think that's why you bring him in camp, because you're already paying for him. There's no reason, I think, to cut him now with 1 week to go. You say, all right, let him get healthy.
You give him a shot against Arizona, because honestly, you're kind of hoping that he does the same thing again. Better draft pick. Maybe you could take a kicker now. I have bent over backwards to ignore the kicker issue all season, right?
Same.
Just not worth it. Like
that on the level, on also on the level of things, on the hierarchy of needs.
He's lost multiple games for him now, and he hasn't won him squat. Even the games where he got the game-winning field goal, like what happened? He had missed a couple before that, so you know. And I mean, where's Debo? Where's the leadership? I mean, someone needed to tell this guy to lock in tonight. And where was Debo in all of this? I mean, unbelievable. Take the C off his chest. Pearsall good.
Good. Real quick on the Pearsall thing, I wanted to address a silly dumb comment. from Jesus M. Appreciate your comments.
No.
I know. I know it's dumb, but there is like a faction out there.
I'll be befooled.
That thinks like this, right? That everything is just schemed open for receivers. Kyle, by the way, went out of his way to say, yeah, he looked really good against man coverage, which the Lions do, I think, more than any team in the league. They 40%
run of the time.
No, it's almost 50. They run cover one man, I think you're right, around like 40% of the time. And then they throw, you know, a few other options out there. But they run some sort of man coverage about half of the time, which is an insane amount in the NFL. And as much as they've had injuries, their secondary is still pretty much intact. Like they've got a lot of guys still in their secondary.
Justin Brancher there. That's for sure.
They're there, right? And so what you saw is a lot of man coverage, and Pearsall beat it because he's a very good receiver who's athletic, who can run routes, who's a tactician of the craft, and you saw him beat it. So that's all I'm going to say is like there's scheming open, no question that happens. The reason he succeeded
on the big one, it happened on the 40 right. yard catch.
Right. No question. It's a great pick play, and he was wide open because of that. But against man coverage, as Kyle Shanahan stated, he was great. And that's how you really evaluate a wide receiver.
Did you see his whip route? Did you see the whip route?
Yeah.
That motherfucker got me. I was Leonard Hankerson in the box. God damn. It's the best whip route I've seen a 49er run. And Ayuk is one hell of a whip route artist. Easy for me to say. Whip route artist. Whip route? I don't know. Like, I've been up since 4.
What has this season done to you?
Well, it's broken my brain. And we talked about the kicker for 10 straight minutes. So he's a special player. And it was frustrating watching him not be looked at because of this seniority that they had going on with, we have to let JJ be the X receiver and we have to make sure that Debo gets looks. Also, Debo, by the way, had fewer catches than Kirby Joseph tonight.
Somebody asked about like Debo looking great today. And I thought I was,
what?
I was losing my mind. Also, separate note. Has Juwan Jennings ever run out of bounds?
Not once. The man's incapable. Awesome.
He always cuts in field.
His greatest strength is his greatest weakness. He must keep the clock running, and he must deliver a hit to end every play.
It's so awesome.
Did I sent you that cold-ass quote, though, right?
Well, yeah, what was the quote again?
So the quote was, or the question was, what happened on the play where he took
Armstead where he blocked the guy wall. Into the end zone, right?
Absolutely magnificent. And we asked Jennings about it in a pile, and he goes, he made a wish, and I granted it for him.
God, that's sick.
That's cold as shit. That dude ain't right, but I like it. I mean, he's a football player. That's for sure. Debo looking good. What part of Debo's game looked good tonight? I'll say this. He had the touchdown run on that little pop pass. That was nice. That was a nice little design by Kyle.
Oh, right.
Took him 3 years.
That was Debo had one target. That was his one reception of the game.
Right. Again, fewer than Kirby Joseph, the Lions safety. And then I guess he's good enough at kickoff, save for that time that he fumbled. You know, so does that negate it all? I mean, did he break one? No. Is he your best kick returner? Yes. But much like, you know, a truck, it takes him a while to get into fifth gear. It's really hard to slow him down once he's in fifth gear, but like, this ain't the Autobahn. I mean, I don't know what they do here. I really don't, because this would have been opportunity for him to be like, actually, I am good against man coverage and just give him the business. And now there's a whole different calculus that you have to take into account when
one play after I watched, you know, Pearsall. It might have just been a crosser against man coverage, whatever it was, and looked really good doing it. I watched Debo against the same corner, maybe it was Robertson, just not even get off the line. And listen, like as much as we have talked about Debo incessantly, like it's just the reality of him as a player. Like he's not a route runner. He's not a real receiver. He runs drags
for a wide receiver.
He runs drags and he runs crossers. And when he has the ball in his hands and he can defeat the first guy, like, he can do anything. He's one of the greatest players I've ever seen with the ball in his hands. But right. Genuinely,
but you have to find
I don't think this is hyperbolic to say Garendo's a better receiver than Deebo. I don't think so.
I'll never unsee the Griezmann clip. He literally did.
Because Deebo is like sort of like joking, and then he's like, oh, shit, I got
– fuck.
That was good.
Okay, I went on with Larry on Saturday morning, and Larry and I yelled at each other for 40 minutes about why he thought that Purdy shouldn't play, and I said he's a fucking professional athlete who's healthy, he should play, and now there's going to be a bunch of revisionist history. He absolutely should have played in this game.
I was with you. I got asked about that in the pregame show, and I said the same thing.
You know what?
This is man coverage. This is a man coverage defense that you haven't been able to beat all year.
Right. This was your opportunity to show that you can do it, and by the way, you did until you didn't. But so I don't know what we really learned, except for a lot of data points. Here we go. Choose which ones matter. And by the way, it doesn't seem like – I mean, we'll find out tomorrow, but I got no indication at all – just being around Brock a little bit after the game and listening to the guys talk. Like, I get no indication that this is a serious injury that's going to put in any way jeopardy next year. Could be wrong come tomorrow. MRI tells the story. He's not going to play against Arizona. He probably shouldn't have played against Arizona because that's a game where neither team wants to win. So don't
put your best team out there. I swear to God, if Drake Nugent doesn't play in that game, I'm going to lose my mind.
Can I just quickly note, why the fuck would you play Brandon Allen with a broken finger over Josh Dobbs? How is that?
Listen, to be clear, the broken finger's on the other hand, but...
A broken finger. It doesn't matter what... I don't care if it's on his toe. Like, conservatism. What are you doing?
Conservatism for the sake
unbelievable.
Of... protecting the scheme and the you know? The same is the same, right?
That's... The same is the same, right? There we go. I mean, I don't think that the Brock thing, yell into the void all you want. I ain't going to see it. I don't think that this is actually an issue. If it does turn out to be an issue, I change my opinion 0% that he should have been playing in this game because I needed to see him cook against man coverage.
And I'm with you. You haven't played a lot of games with this rookie receiver that you need to have a connection with going into the season because.
That's right.
The receiver you paid a bunch of money to is coming back from a gnarly knee injury where I think it was ACL, MCL, like maybe PCL. Yeah. Like it was serious, right? So Ayuk had to go through that. Your other guy, Deebo, you don't know if you're even going to keep him. Then it's Juwan Jennings, who's really just a slot receiver. So you got to know if this quarterback can work with this receiver against a man coverage heavy team, which is exactly what this is. So yeah, like maybe you want this data point against a team that you're going to need to beat at some point if you actually want to be back in the playoffs and be considered a real team. So, yeah, of course it's worth it to play. And if he gets hurt, it happens.
Let's also just establish a baseline level of professionalism. Like, I want to know if any of the people who were suggesting that Brock shouldn't have played in this game sent out a tweet or some comment, even a text message to a friend, lamenting when Anthony Richardson tapped out of the game.
Yeah.
Because that would be the equivalent. Oh, I'm healthy, but I'm not going to play. Brock might be the most underpaid player in football. He's still got a check for $60,000 for playing this game. I'm sure he would have done it for a hell of a lot less. I don't think the money is what matters. I think that there's a level of culture and pride that comes into play here that I you cannot let go of that rope. You cannot allow yourself to just let a loss come into play. It can't happen.
Right.
You cannot let your hands off the rope like that. If you give up on two games down the stretch when draft pick is a marginal upgrade at best,
right?
You're not picking one. You're not going to get your future quarterback. This isn't a make or break draft for you. I mean,
also when they lose, like they actually can't get any lower. Like they're 11th. So like, so tanking, like you might as well just try and win because you're not moving up. I mean, I get it does matter. Like it does matter, but at this point, like you're a team that's trying to retain some sort of semblance of a culture.
It lays as it lays. Like it just is what it is. And we're going to find out. I hate to do the tautologies. Like, I hate to pretend. Like, but you play the season. You take the cards you're dealt. And if you want, if you feel like you need to move up, you have ample ammunition to move up. If you feel like you have the opportunity to move down, you absolutely should consider that. But don't go out here and undercut the overall culture, which is fragile, right? When you lose this much with the expectations this high, that culture is fragile. And something like Brock Purdy saying, nah, I don't feel like it, that just that shatters it.
Right, and there's no risk of that because that's not who he is. Just want to briefly, thanks, shout out Iman Report for the donation. I mean, listen, like this is part of what it comes down to, and I don't think that Shanahan and Lynch necessarily operate in the same way. But at the end of the day, coaching and operating a team is an act of self-preservation, and the act of like what preserves you and lets you continue to operate and run this organization.
Sure.
What's the best route for that is paying Brock Purdy because you know what he is. He understands the system. And does he have flaws? Yeah, I think the first interception was probably worse than the second one.
Yeah,
I think that was pretty sweet by Kirby Joseph. And Brock locked in on it. Definitely stuff to criticize there. But that's like scheme and understanding and a great player making a great play. Like they're going to pay Brock. That's just the reality.
100%. 100%. The question is how much? And today,
thanks, you looking great, by the way. You look outstanding.
Magnificent.
I'm sorry.
They're paying Brock. It's happening. The question is, are they going to set the market with him or can they negotiate it down? The question is how much guaranteed money it is. And here's I'll throw two things out. One, Jared Goff. Let me put it to you this way. We watched Tua get paid this offseason, and you and I both had a conniption, right? Because we're like, that guy's not worth $55 million. And then the game starts and the season starts, and I'm not saying that he is or he isn't, but you just sort of forget. It just doesn't matter, right? In a vacuum, when you're not actually having to put a football team together and you can operate in a theoretical realm, you go, oh, well, he's not worth that. I would do this or that. But then you actually have to put – then you actually have to put a football team on the field and you're like, and how much did the quarterback cost? I don't care. I need a quarterback.
Like, by the way, the Dolphins can cut to in 2026 and save $31 million.
Well, and by the way, that is not abnormal in the least bit. Most of these quarterback contracts are easy outs. Easy outs.
This is the reality. I said it. I went on Willard and Dibbs in the pregame show and they asked me about Brock's money, and the reality is there's different ways to do it. You can set it up like Tua's and set it up like Jordan Love's, whatever it is. The reality is the quarterback is not making $65 million. He's making more like 40. He's making more like 40 over a life of 2 to 4 years, depending on how much guaranteed, how long you lock it in. And then you have an insane figure like $80 million, or it's over 2 years and you got two $65 million years. Whatever you need to do to bump up the AAV, but you're not getting that money, or the quarterback's playing so well, you go, all right, we're going to restructure and extend, and we'll guarantee some of that money, but not all of it. So in reality, Brock is going to get something more like $40 million over, let's say, 3 years. It's going to be mostly guaranteed. Whatever it is, that's really the number.
Let me throw something at you here. So Jordan Love, who had one good Toyota-thon, and that's it, got a $220 million contract for $55 million a year, right? Next year, his guaranteed money is $11.9 million. The year after that, it's $10.4 million. That's it. None of this is prohibitive at all. And I would also like to note, like, that's on a quarterback who has nothing but young, cheap players around him. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts out here, it stretches out a little bit longer. By the way, 2029, he has a void year that's worth $97 million on the cap.
So awesome. That should be,
and they could just cut it. So that's fun. That's an all-timer by the Eagles. But, like, didn't stop them from going out and signing a guy who rushed for 2,000 yards this year. You know, Josh Allen has a massive contract. He signed it a little early. Jared Goff, 2 years, then they can get rid of him, get no guaranteed money after that. Trevor Lawrence, no guaranteed money after 27. Dak Prescott has no guaranteed salary after next year.
Like, but they also are paying him like $90 million on a cap next year, which is kind of awesome. They're just like, listen, this is going to go nowhere, and we're just going to eat it right up front and go nowhere.
There's an easy way to restructure that. You throw it into a void year. You eat it one, you know, at some point. Like, it is literally $89.89 million
awesome.
Cap next year with a $150 million dead cap hit for cap hit, but by the way, like, Russell Wilson is getting, was it like an $80 million cap hit to go away for the Broncos? They took an $80 million cap hit on a $250 million salary cap. And then this year, the Falcons, who Raheem Morris, just deer in the headlights, great defensive coordinator, not good at this whole job that he currently holds, waited way too long to go to Penix, who looked awesome. I mean, rookie, but awesome. At least he could throw the ball.
Kirk is just, you're watching every body part collapse into dust on the field.
They're gonna cut him, and it's going to cost him $60 million against the cap. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So what are we talking
about? Yeah, and by the way, with free agency, the reality is, like, if you're paying a guy, say, $20 million a year, I'm not saying they're not going to go out and even do that. But if you go out and you get, like, this guy, Drew Dahlman, we're talking about. Say it's $20
million. Love a Drew Dahlman. Watch it'll cost yesterday. You. It was fantastic.
It'll cost you $8 million next year. You know, probably double that the year after. And then the third year is like half guaranteed, and you can cut. Like, that's how it works. Right.
Let me throw a number here. So Jimmy, after five games, got the largest quarterback contract in the history of the NFL, which made it the largest contract in the history of the NFL. His first year, which was in fact the year that he tore his ACL, in Kansas City, week three. His first year, he had a cap hit that was 21% of the salary cap. If Brock has a $62 million cap hit, which would be commensurate, I would argue, to his guaranteed money, if they were to just do it bang, 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 that's every cap hit every year. That's 21% of the cap in 2025. Sorry, 2026, which is when it would really kick in. It would be 21%. So the idea that a quarterback isn't worth $62 million is merely just not understanding the inflation of salary cap year over year.
And that's fair, because a lot of this is obscured behind all this bullshit of option bonuses all this random stuff. And no one, understandably, really wants to take the time to look at it. And I'm not going to pretend I understand every option bonus and all these details. Totally. And we definitely get things wrong at times. But 100%. The reality is, it's the percentage of the salary cap that matters, and it keeps going up. And if you have a quarterback who understands your system and functions and is above average, which by every – just screw metrics, Brock is well above average. He makes some dumb mistakes. He's also overcompensating for a lot of things. And the offense has been a mess all year and has had poor schematic answers in key situations.
They were rotating Heck and Pleasant.
Listen, I told some people –
the worst player I've seen.
I got up here to Reading and you know, I was telling people, you know, I was got to watch this game and giving them a mini introduction. I was like, mention the name Austin Pleasance and Charlie Heck. I was like, do either of those sound like anything but Madden, just regen players? Year seven of a Madden franchise. And I'm not trying to rip on these guys, but like, just could be any person ever.
Yeah. And yet, Brock threw for 377, and the play that got him injured wasn't because of them. It was because of Patrick Taylor, and the two interceptions had really nothing to do with the offensive line, in my estimation. So, yeah, I would like to note, per our friend Josh Dubow, Purdy down one score in the fourth quarter or overtime in his career, 41 for 72, 502 yards, three touchdowns, seven interceptions, and a 53 passer rating. That is one of the all-time worst marks. Now, I think that has a lot to do with Kyle. Good. But it does. It is not good because he puts it on himself. He's a bit of a swashbuckler.
Yeah, Jimmy. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo cost $37 million on the cap his first year. Insane.
Yeah, it was like 21% of the cap for Jimmy, and he didn't play.
Yeah, 16%.
How did Pleasance end up downfield on the Kittle catch? He didn't know the play. Pretty straightforward, actually. He just didn't know the play. Okay, Titus, been a huge Purdy fan, but all these fourth quarter picks have been rough. Can you offer a glass half full take on him, and what would you pay him after tonight? I'd pay him the market value, which is more than Dak Prescott, And the glass half full is that he just turned 25 years old, and he is a 25-year-old who has taken your team to a Super Bowl, albeit in ideal conditions. And this year has been anything but ideal conditions. And there have been moments when he has looked absolutely awesome. There is no perfect quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has had a statistically down year. Joe Burrow's been ripping it. The Bengals are barely fighting for the playoff spot. Like, maybe this year's Josh Allen is a perfect quarterback. If you keep on holding out for the perfect quarterback to come around, you're not going to have a job any longer in the NFL. Jared Goff is by no means a perfect quarterback. I can go through a million ways why I don't believe in Jared Goff. Tua is not a perfect quarterback by any stretch, but they're good enough, and you make it work because you know the alternative is a Brandon Allen. You know the alternative is a Skylar Thompson. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, just signed again. Teddy Bridgewater coached high school football all year. They just signed him.
And they were literally like, hey, buddy, I know you're retired, but like whenever your season gets over, please, God, like come back to us.
$600,000.
Yeah. And glass half full on Purdy's. I've said it before. Like, he's had the best relationship with Kyle of any quarterback Kyle has ever had with the 49ers. He has enough arm strength. He understands how the offense functions. He can make off schedule plays. I think he has lost a bit of trust in what they're doing, and his vision has been worse this year. Those are definite concerns. But he's a guy who's been in it, who's produced, and the fourth quarter interceptions are concerning. But I think that comes from overcompensation and the offense not as a whole humming as well. But yeah, this has not been exactly a banner year for him by any stretch of the imagination.
So a lot of people saying you don't pay top dollar. I don't think you all understand how a free market economy works. You pay what they're worth based on what the market economy tells you they're worth. You don't pay premium for mid. I have some terrible news for you on how quarterback contracts work. They're not directly commensurate. There's not an arbiter who hands out the quarterback contracts. It's called a marketplace, and you will get paid whatever you're worth. Kirk Cousins became a free agent coming off a torn Achilles at age 36. He got $100 million guaranteed. Like, Dak Prescott, perhaps the definition of mid in the NFL, is the highest paid player in the league. Right behind him is Trevor Lawrence. Right after him is Jordan Love, who, again, has had one good Toyota-thon in his career when he got that contract. Then it's Joe Burrow, who is sick. He's pretty awesome. We all agree Joe Burrow's good.
Yeah.
Tua is right after him. Then there's Jared Goff. Then there's Justin Herbert, who I'm a big fan of, but is somewhat of a divisive player. Certainly a caliber higher than Purdy, without a question, even though Purdy has more playoff wins. Then there's Lamar, who, looking forward to this year's playoffs to see how Lamar decides to completely implode in those games. I mean, one of the greatest players of all time, just a confounding quarterback. And then Jalen Hurts pretty much did the exact same thing as Brock Purdy, did he not? Is this not the exact same?
Right. And the counter is that all these quarterbacks are overpaid, which, yeah, they're all overpaid, but that's what the market is. And your option is to say, all right, we're going to move on with Brock. We're going to get rid of Brock Purdy, and we're going to go into the void. And what? You're going to pay Chase – You're going to pay Sam Darnold roughly the same amount of money.
$45 million for Sam Darnold, probably. I mean, everyone, oh, his franchise tag is this. Yeah, but you don't have his franchise tag. You have to buy him on the open market.
Right, and listen, yeah, you do have the option to say, all right, we're not going to do this, and we're going to try and moneyball it. We're going to try and draft a quarterback and go super cheap. Sure, you can try that. But if your quarterback can't function, you're dead from day one.
The Cleveland Browns literally hired the inventor of Moneyball to run their front office. And within a few years, they handed Deshaun Watson the worst contract in NFL history. Okay? So the idea that you can Moneyball it, let me know how that works out for you. You and I would both be totally dorked out on this, on someone going quarterback zero. That'd be awesome. The experiment would be fascinating. It'd be exhausting, but fascinating. There is no option here.
Unfortunately, folks, the most important position in professional sports gets paid quite a lot of money. And
this is unbelievably dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it anymore. You all need to be institutionalized. This offense would function with a $2 million Dobbs. Get out of here. Folks,
did we watch Josh Dobbs last year? This is what Josh Dobbs does. He makes you think he's the greatest quarterback. Why is no one paying him? And then he throws three interceptions and gets benched for Nick Mullins. That's the reality. That's what happened last year.
And feel free to go ahead and buy in. If Sam Darnold wants to bring Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson with him, then I'm all in on
that. And their offensive line.
Yeah, and Kevin O'Connell can come too because, you know, he's a really good play caller. Like, bring them all on. Oh, Aaron Jones, bring them on. I'll take the Vikings offense if that's what you're buying, but you're not. You're buying Sam Darnold, who, let's be honest, you're not actually watching the games. When you watch Sam Darnold play football, it is living on the edge, baby.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's exciting. And kind of
it's awesome. It's chaos.
It's like the girl you can't really trust. You know, the party girl, you're like, she's awesome, but she, I don't know. Every now and again, I feel like she can get us in some real trouble. And that's what you want to feel going into the playoffs. You want to feel that going into the playoffs. Hey, I'm not sure if our quarterback is going to implode our chances to win.
Listen,
the Baker Mayfield. Who's the Baker Mayfield equivalent? You want to go sign Aaron Rodgers? You want to go sign Derek Carr? You want to go get Kirk Cousins coming? He's throwing Jamie Moyer fastballs. Like, what do you want to do here? Deshaun Watson might get cut. You interested in him? Like, you lock up a quarterback who knows your system, who has the ability to be excellent. This man got MVP votes last year. He has more MVP votes than Russell Wilson ever got.
That's kind of insane.
Well, you know, stuff happens. Or you could be the Colts or the Panthers who just float in the wilderness and hope that it works out for them. Maybe it worked out for the Colts twice, and then they tried to strike it three times, and now they're begging they had Gardner Minshew. You know? Oh, go get Marcus Mariota. Let me know how that goes. Let me know how it went for the Tennessee Titans this year when they tried to go with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. Let me know. Because I think that's a really talented roster. And frankly, if they had a quarterback, they could have won 7 or 8 or maybe 9 games in the AFC. But they had Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, who actually provided some level of competency. And then they only won 3. Whoopsie.
Will Levis, just an awesome, terrible quarterback. Just throwing the ball 75 yards, but having no idea of how to play the position. Taking 19 sacks a game.
If you really believe that Brock Purdy should not get paid, then you now need to use your first round pick on a quarterback. Put your money where your mouth is now, yeah. Fans. You don't want to pay Brock Purdy. That's fine. Now you need to give me the scouting report on these first round quarterbacks and tell me who they should take at 11.
That's right.
Because there's no alternative.
Yeah. Okay. Just as a palate cleanser here. All right. Thank you, boy, Tony Wilson from Australia. I got to shout him out here. Tony Wilson.
Nooch.
One more from Tony.
They're going to do it.
This is my sort of guy. Tony, I'd love to get a beer with you. This is what we're looking for here. Talking Nooch ball. Football.
I think we stand a chance of talking some real honest God Nooch ball on Sunday.
Listen. They're going to get to a point where just let him play. Like, I know your offensive line has no players left. Lean into the Nooch. Let the Nooch play. They activated him. If they didn't have the disaster at left tackle and left guard, I do wonder if they'd give him a chance. It's because it's tough. But, like, just play him one game. We're all asking for one. Maybe the Nooch will suck. He probably will. I don't care. I need to see it. Anyway.
Okay, let me answer this. Why would the Niners pay Purdy early? Because he's your franchise quarterback, and because the earlier you get in, the cheaper it is. Full stop.
Well, also he just might not play if you don't pay him.
Let's put it one more step further than that. The earlier you sign him, the sooner you can get out of it. Right. So the idea is there's nothing that can happen next year Legitimately, I really believe this. There's nothing that can happen next year that could convince the 49ers to not pay Brock Purdy to be their franchise quarterback. And there's almost no way that he's going to implode to the point where they just go, oh, we're not going to give him the contract, or we can pay him Baker Mayfield money. Baker Mayfield had been on three different teams. It's a little bit of a difference there. You know, when the Buccaneers brought him in, it was on a one-year trial. And then right. he won, and that's another year trial. And guess what he's going to do this offseason? Sign for more than Sam Darnold, who's on a one-year trial. You want to keep playing the free trial game? At some point, you got to subscribe to Netflix.
And so,
at some point, it becomes exhausting. You know, just pay the $6.99. That's what it costs. Oh, well, now it's $9.99. Well, that's what it costs. You want the service, you pay for it. You don't want the service, you think you can keep gaming it around, you might find out that the free trials, well, they no longer work. Now you got to change the email address. Now you got to talk to somebody else. Now you're going through a lot of hoops where it's like, man, just pay the $9.99 and never have to think about this again.
So this is like, we're assuming if his elbow is like fucked, then this is a different conversation.
Entirely.
Right. Also, I really hope your real name is Herschel Krustofsky.
That's incredible. Isn't that Krusty the Clown's name?
I think so. I think it probably is. But I'm going to pretend this is a real man named Herschel Krustofsky.
Right. What? I repeat, if you want to come in and say don't pay Purdy, explain to me the alternative. We're going into 2025. You need a quarterback. What are you doing? Who are you going with? Dobbs? Congrats. You're not making the playoffs. You know, like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Let's live in the real world. Oh, yeah.
Dieter is... You're doing okay. I know it's... It's because it's a deeply dumb conversation, and it's dumb because the reality is people are like, should we pay him? Should we not? One, you're not the person making the decision. He's going to get paid, right? Unless his elbow has just imploded, which the signs are it's probably a nerve thing. And he's just,
I just saw, like, it. I mean, I was in Philadelphia. I know what an exploded elbow looks like. It doesn't look anything like that.
Yeah.
So
it looked like numbness.
Let me throw two things your way. Two things that they absolutely should do, 100%. They should pay Brock, and then they should put a fire under Brock's ass. Because Brock came into this league with a chip on his shoulder, and I'm not saying that chip is gone. I'm just saying it doesn't have to get touched as often as it used to. And you need to go out and you need to get yourself a viable backup quarterback. Now, Josh Dobbs might convince the world in week 18 that he's that guy. More power to him. All ears on that one. I look forward to seeing it. If he's your viable backup quarterback who can push Purdy. Hasn't pushed him yet, been on the team for a year, but, you know, maybe. That's a
thought. He could not get the plays in training camp. And, buddy, it's not $60 million. We explained this already.
Okay, first off, Jeebus just doesn't know what he's talking about, and if he puts in another dumb thing, I'm banning him. Because at this point, it's trollish, and he's not open to even a conversation. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You can jump out of this.
I get what you're trying to say, that like he's cheap, but he's cheap because he's not good. He's not reliable. Like, what makes a quarterback worth starter money is if you know you can project, say, 16 games, your team is going to be, you know, 10-6, right?
Okay. Baker Mayfield didn't have a market. You want to play the same way that you played with Ayuk and Trent Williams, and you want to play that game with your quarterback, you're sabotaging a season before it starts. He's not better than Baker Mayfield. I saw them both play in the same game. He was better than Baker Mayfield. Brock Purdy is a markedly better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, and I like Baker Mayfield. The idea that there's a quarterback in this league who is exceptional and isn't paid is merely a byproduct of delay. If you are in a, there's nobody in this league who's exceptional at quarterback who is perpetually underpaid. They were either paid too early or they're yet to be paid. But there is no world in which there's somebody who's fallen through the cracks. Baker Mayfield made $33 million this year. He's going to make close to 50 next year. Okay? So you don't want to pay Brock Purdy, 25 years old, NFC Championship game twice, Super Bowl once, 377 today, even with the airs, 377 today, against perhaps the number one seed in the NFC. You don't want to pay that guy his market rate. Go to town. See how that works out.
Ask just the Seahawks briefly
how they feel about having Geno.
Just so we can transition away from this and lower our blood pressure. Like, thank you. Very reasonable point here from Benali. Like, the offense put up 34, should have had 41. He had one bad pick, one middle of the two. So let's say two bad picks.
He threw three. He threw three. Right.
I'm not saying this is a great game.
You don't
game,
know
but...
football. You're out. You're out. You're banned. You're out. I'll do it. I'll do it for the rest.
The point is, the defense got ran through, just demolished, which we knew it would happen. The kicker, he missed two field goals and an extra point. By the way, Debo fumbled. Can we just say Tatum Bethune, that should have counted? That him running the full length of the field with the ball that squeaked out should have counted as a touchdown?
Sure. I mean, it didn't, and I don't think it should have. I thought the whole thing was a hot mess. The idea, this is now going to be used against Purdy. Having a good enough game or having 377 against that Lions defense doesn't matter. It does. You cannot keep moving the goalpost. Just say that you don't like the guy. Just say you don't like him. It's fine. We can all agree on that. That's a subjective thing. You don't like him. The idea that he's just consider yourself lucky that you get to have this debate, right? Because you don't get to have it if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Dallas Cowboys. You don't get to have this debate if you're those teams. You just have to sign the guy because you're desperate. And the idea that you have a – by the way, I imagine that all of the people right now who say don't pay Brock have said fire Kyle at some point in the last month. So apparently Kyle's a genius who can get it done with any quarterback, despite all the evidence against that. I mean, drafted a guy third overall, couldn't get it done with him. So either Kyle's a genius who any quarterback that he has automatically works, or Brock Purdy's really good. And that he has Juwan Jennings, who can't separate in man coverage. He has Debo Samuel, who had fewer catches than the Detroit Lions safety today. He's going with his sixth string running back at times. He had two gentlemen who were not on the team last week, alternating at left tackle today. On top of that, Nick Zekelge, his former roommate, who should have been cut 3 years ago, playing left guard. It's fine. It's fine. It's totally mentally incongruous, but you got it nailed, guys. Offer him 40. I hope this is the same kind of shit that I hear all the time with Giants fans and Warriors fans. Enjoy the bed that you're making for yourself. I hope you get what you want. Sam Darnold's missing his left tackle. What did the Vikings do? They went out and they got the fucking Jaguars starting left tackle. They traded for one. Yeah, he lost the left tackle, then they went and got him.
Yeah.
Either you have an operation that is so damn good that it doesn't need a quarterback, or Brock Purdy's in a situation where he couldn't win if he tried because of all the injuries this year. And apparently that goes, pick one or the other, but it can't be both the head coach and the quarterback are out. It can't be. One of them has to be good because this team was in overtime of the Super Bowl last year.
Right, and if they didn't have two offensive line protection breakdowns, they win it.
Yeah.
Or one.
Probably, amongst many other things, including the head coach making a complete boneheaded decision to do that. So, trading Brock is something I'm willing to engage with. That's at least an interesting mental exercise. That's something there. But
here's the reality. Like, what I wanted to say is you go back to when, like, remember when Brock came into this offense, right? Where Kyle
Week
was
13, Miami.
So exhausted with Jimmy. And Jimmy was playing the best football probably of his career. And genuinely, Jimmy was playing really, really pretty well. But the reality is Jimmy throws the ball down the middle, can't push the ball downfield. Brock comes in. He can scramble, and he can throw the ball outside the numbers and deep. Like, that alone, not to even deal with IQ and the fact that he can have a conversation and Kyle trusts him, that has elevated this offense from day one since he came in. And I know it's hard to remember that now when the whole operation looks like shit. It's just a pile of mud and absolute garbage. Like, the defense is a disaster. But that has nothing to do with the quarterback, and there's so much outside of that. Is there plenty to criticize with Brock? Yes, absolutely. But we're exhausted because we've gone through it. Like, we've gone through all of it. And they don't – and if you want to trade Brock and do that, and you go get another first-round pick, and you try and go get Cam Ward or something, okay, that's an option. It's a cheaper option. You kind of have to start from scratch, but sure. Sure. That's at least a plan, as opposed to, like, just go sign Sam Darnold to the same contract or Josh Dobbs.
Sam Darnold was on this team last year. I know. We watched him in training camp. It's not a thing. It's just unbelievable.
Is there anything else you want to get to?
Yeah, Sorensen's got to go. What are we doing here?
which play in particular? I know which one you're.
Well, there's
one, I mean, amongst many.
Let's talk about the macro. I understand that the talent isn't out there, but Nick Bosa had himself a ball game. He was outstanding. He put Skipper on his ass like three times.
He's giving Penei Sewell a really hard time.
He was working Penei Sewell. That is.
And just got his entire brain to neck collapsed into a
unbelievable performance from Bosa. And I thought Renardo Green had a good game. I thought Mustafa had a good game. I look at this defense and it's like, I thought Jalen Graham came in and gave him a little bit of something. And I'm looking at a defense where I get it. They're injured. They're battered beyond belief. How do you have defenders out there?
I really hope this is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that play. It's fourth down and three. A goal to go. And you ran zone. Nobody has ever done that. Ever. In the history.
Well, that's not true.
Well, it's almost a genius play. Who would have seen it coming? Who would have possibly seen playing zone coverage on your own 3-yard line on fourth down coming? If it would have worked, all the credit in the
this
world.
This is like the point, right? You have actually really good man
he
coverage
was magnificent.
Corners.
He was really good. Now, Yadam is not. But you're probably something close to base. And I'm willing to accept what happens if you have Mustafa on Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot. Like, I'm willing to accept base man-to-man, probably a mismatch, but you do it because you need to stop the run on a fourth and three near the red zone. Like, you have to have base. And you trust, in this case, Lenore and Green to hold down, you know, what, Allen Robinson and Tim Patrick. Like, what?
Tim Patrick having a resurgent year, I will say that.
He's a wonderful player. I said it in a pejorative sense, but like, both very good players. Obviously, the Sun God is on a different caliber. Gibbs is unbelievable.
I do really think
consider yourself unlucky you didn't get to watch Gibbs in person. He is spectacular.
He's so sick. I mean, won me one fantasy championship, lost the other.
Okay, thank you. I just saw Ben Johnson just absolutely work this dude over, and watching D Winters run around with no idea what he was doing. Just legitimately Will Ferrell, semi-pro, I'm a rover coach energy, just roving around. Can't be the rover, Jackie. I've never seen anything quite like it. It's one thing to be a linebacker that's slow and immobile and getting kind of worked because you're always one or two steps behind. It's a whole other thing to just be running around crazily with no intent whatsoever. He was brutal. It's one of the worst linebacker games I've ever seen, and we get to watch some really bad linebacker games when the Niners offense is cooking. Today was a good example. And how you can't pull him, how you didn't pull him is beyond me if you're Sorensen. How you keep Yadam out there that entire game is beyond me. And how you call some of these plays is he was just he wasn't present in the game at all. It was
there's
it was
not like there's like no real identity with this team on defense. There's not a schematic identity. There's not a physical identity. When Dre Greenlaw's out there, there is.
I mean, but that's like is it? We saw a half, you know.
That's what I mean. But like, you're putting a lot on a guy who's coming back from an Achilles and couldn't make it through the rest of the season, which is understandable. Like, they don't have the guys, and when you don't have the guys, like, you look at the Arizona Cardinals. Like, the Arizona Cardinals are a team who don't have the guys, and they straight up out-schemed the 49ers early this year. Totally. And the 49ers, whether, you know, and listen, I've made this excuse that, like, Shanahan likes to keep it simple, whatever. If he had a good defensive coordinator that he really trusted to scheme it up, you'd let him do it. You'd let him do it. I think there's a lack of trust there in terms of, all right, what's the answer to this problem? That's what you're solving as a defensive coordinator, or you're being proactive and you're saying, this is the problem we're going to present to them, which is what great defensive coordinators have done.
Some mix and match, some versatility. Hey, we suck, but at least we're crazy. You know, like Todd Bowles is the greatest example of this season, right? Todd Bowles' defense is not good. They have Vita Vea and like nobody else, maybe a decent safety in Winfield. And what has Todd Bowles done? He has just said like, oh, we're just going to be lunatic people. We're going to just blitz and be crazy and do stuff. And like, we will get burned quite often, but we'll also get turnovers and picks. And Kyle's out here bemoaning the fact that this team can't get any turnovers. It's like, how the hell are they supposed to get a turnover? They drop into basic cover three or cover four every single time. They don't do anything. There's nothing interesting happening. Yeah. And meanwhile, they're getting cooked on it. Ben, I mean, that had to be the easiest day in the office all time for Ben Johnson. They could have run the same play 20 times in a row. Hey, Jameer, just go to the flat. It was just easy pickings. I mean, the hook and ladder couldn't have worked easier. It was laughable. And Fred Warner doesn't stand a chance. And Nick Bosa is out here doing some incredible stuff. And I thought, you know, Gross Matos had a decent game and Okwuanu had an up and down game. Malik Collins has turned in one underwhelming performance, and I don't think the expectations were high. And he's their best defensive tackle. Like, Elliott had about three or four really good snaps in the first quarter, maybe first half, and then just turned into a hinge again. It was just unbelievable. There's defensive tackle. You need like four reinforcements, and that's concerning because they've spent a lot of money there.
I think they have a misunderstanding of what defensive tackles need to do. Quite honestly, I'm going to be aggressive about the front office. Yeah. The way they approached this season at defensive tackle was a joke. Like, we said it from the start. Like, we tried to get them some deference here.
Get a two-gapper. Just one.
But you had Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins. Okay, if you're going to pressure as a quarterback all the time, like it's 1982, I don't know what you're talking about. You don't have guys that are two-gappers that can hold up against the run. You don't have physical at the point of attack. Malik Collins has a physicality at times. He's inconsistent. He's also asked to do a million things at the age of 30. Like, you don't.
He ain't got it anymore.
Jordan Elliott occasionally shows it, but like for the most part, like he's driving upfield and not involved in the play. Like, and he gets very easily turned away from it.
You can have those defensive tackles, but then you need to have two elite defensive ends and two elite linebackers. Well, they don't have that. They have one of each. So then, okay, you don't have that. So what do you do? Well, now we're going to need to go and get defensive tackles. Like, Dre Greenlaw, you got one half of it, and that's about all you're probably going to get. I mean, Dieter, just banking on him is ridiculous.
I will say, because somebody's brought this up a million times, what this game does, by the way, is it locks up the 49ers finish in fourth. Do you want to know who their opponents next year will be?
Sure.
So outside of the NFC West, you have the Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, Chicago Bears at home. On the road, Texans, Colts, Saints, Bucks, Giants, Browns. So that's an extraordinarily favorable schedule. Even if those teams have massive upgrades, that's a lot of the South and some weak teams.
They should definitely fuck around with their quarterback and sabotage the season.
Listen, dude, that we went into the season being like, this is a brutal schedule. They have to do their work early. They didn't do their work early. And then you get to the bye week and they're like, all right, Christian McCaffrey will save our season after coming off an Achilles injury. Doesn't do that. And they don't have schematic answers. The season's been like cooked since day one. And yeah, the idea that
everything is happened as we predicted,
they set it up. Fundamentally, this roster wasn't ready to compete this year, which is an insane thing to say, given that they ran it back with a lot of guys. But like, no one had a real training camp, the amount of attrition they had, and then the lack of, honestly, coaching attrition, just in terms of mental, I don't know. They didn't answer a lot of schematic questions that they obviously needed to answer this season. So anyway.
And listen, the beauty of this is that they used up in 1 year, 3 years of collateral because they didn't win the damn thing. And even then, we might be close. They burned it all up. Bad, one of the worst situational football teams I've ever seen. Tonight being a good example. Terrible special teams. All the little things that you need to do to win, they don't do any of them. They can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. That's not a little thing, but that's like a baseline bedrock of success in the NFL. Can't do that. They're terrible in all of the hidden yardage and hidden points aspects of football. And when the going gets tough, Kyle soils the bed. And Brock, by proxy, comes out the other end. Like, this is a horrendous situational football team. They're front runners, and they've played from behind all year. But they're also,
that's what their identity has been.
That's not a new development. That's every year forever with Kyle Shanahan. The problem is when they're going well, they're never behind, because when they're going well, they're that much better than everybody else. Now, maybe that has changed. Maybe the rest of the league has caught up. I'm willing to see it out.
Yep.
I'm willing to give it a shot.
I think you just fundamentally, you have to be more physical at the point of attack with both of your fronts. Start from there. You have a full offseason with guys who are not playing this whole next month. You're getting a lot of rest. You're still an old roster, but the amount of wear and tear that you're avoiding is substantial. A lot of these guys that held out, you're avoiding that. Like, if you get Brock done, your main thing is locked up. Maybe you have to do some stuff with Kittle and whatever. Though he's going to figure it out. He'll be in camp. Like, you have your answers on the roster at a lot of key positions. You also don't have a lot of answers at key positions, but you can go in and say, all right, we need defensive tackle. We need interior offensive line. We're going to get more physical. We're going to get younger. We're going to get more athletic.
Totally.
And who cares? We're going to stack up at wide receiver and running back and spend, you know, a few of those picks because there's attrition and wear and tear there, and maybe we'll whiff. But
they're looking pretty sweet at a couple of spots. I love the possibility of a Christian McCaffrey Garendo backfield next year. Mason, who knows? Like, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
Yeah.
I like the possibility of IU coming back, getting some, you know, getting a window to come back, not getting rushed back, getting to come back when he feels comfortable, giving him the best opportunity to make an impact upon return. Because we always talk about guys coming off the ACL, it's the year after the year that they really get
having
back.
Having him and Pearsall in the same offense.
Getting him, McCaffrey, and Pearsall on the same offense, I want you to play man-to-man.
Kittle?
Yeah, suddenly the thing couldn't do becomes a strength. And now, guess what? You get to play zone. And I don't know if Debo's going to be there or not, but like, I can tell you Juwan Jennings is pretty good against zone. And I can tell you that anyone who's good against man is also good against zone. Like, that's
last,
the easy part.
Yeah. Last thing I will
get
I will say.
Get young and fast on defense. Get young and fast on defense and get to the point where you can rotate your defensive line again. Because even if you're not going to commit to a tactical change on the defensive front, you have to have the bodies commensurate to the system you run. And what made the 49ers excellent, even running, I believe, a fundamentally flawed defensive front, is that they would rotate dudes through so that they were fresh as hell in the fourth quarter. They were ahead. They could tee up. They could pin their ears back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the difference. Why is this the worst fourth quarter defense in football? It's pretty obvious, because their defensive lines are tired. Their defense is tired because they don't have – it's hard to play defense. You're chasing people around. It's exhausting.
Yeah. I'd actually feel decent about this team going into next year.
100%. We're going to bring it down a little bit from Super Bowl, but this is the same situation the Eagles were in last year. I know that the Eagles had a better year before it all fell apart extremely fast for them, thanks to Deebo Samuel. Like, I get it, but coming out of last year, there oh man, did we mess up by paying Jalen Hurts? And oh, I don't know. This team will have the money to pay Purdy, to pay other players, right? Because it's all 1 year deals or a year and a half deals. They'll be fine. The cap keeps going up and saving them from themselves. This is not a Saints situation. And yes, I do think they need to make massive changes, or at least bring in more people on the offensive and defensive lines. No question about it. And they need augmentation, if not upgrades, at other spots. I don't have full trust that they'll get it done right, but they get the opportunity to do it.
Yep. And when you're good enough,
they did a good job on this draft.
Yeah. I'm with you. So I'm with you.
They did a good job on this draft. That was with a lot of the brain trust gone. So whomever's filled in those gaps did a good job and helped John Lynch. And John Lynch has more power now than he ever did. Like, they get an opportunity to do it again. And if you get back-to-back good drafts, or if you put in a great one there, you have a very different ball team.
The only thing I would ask them to do is, please God, draft a backup tight end who is not utter and complete garbage.
Did you see Brock Wright today for the Lions? He was fantastic. Do you remember what they did?
They tried to go get him. Yeah, they tried to go get him, and the Lions matched.
The Lions matched the RFA for a backup tight end. And you know what? Watching him today, I went, that would have been a good buy. Man, he's a pretty good player right there. That's exactly what they needed. So we'll have ample time to talk about it, because the season has no meaning anymore. I'm not talking Josh Dobbs all week, Jake. We're going to start draft shit.
I refuse. Now. We're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. I got to get back from Reading, but we'll get into it, folks.
I got to go home. I got radio at 6 a.m. I still got to write a column. My wife is texting me. This is great. I really enjoyed this, Jake. I really enjoyed this time with you yelling about Brock Purdy's contract.
I'm absolutely clipping that.
I'm just done. I'm done with this football team. I so look forward. I can't believe I'm saying this. They've broken the most cynical man in sports media.
I love that. That's a special moment. It's a special moment.
I'm looking forward to some optimism. I need some hope in my life again.
You got it.
I'm a glass half full guy now.
It'll get better. I'll get better. Thank you, folks.
Or not. And that will or not. Be fun, but we'll have something interesting to talk about. It's anyway. Better than Jonathan Kuminga talk.
It is pretty bad. It's pretty bleak. Anyway,
go Sharks.
On that note, folks, we're going to wrap. Appreciate all of you genuinely. Keep it up. We're going to get weirder, and we'll have draft stuff coming. We'll figure out what the plan is with that.
I don't even think we're going to get weirder. I think we're going to get, like, really serious. I think we're going to, like, we're going to start morphing into McShay and Kuiper just slowly. Yeah.
God.
You think about this guy, 375, going into this. And
You know, this guy's built like three pieces of meatballs, but he plays with a firecracker up his ass.
Slowly turn into caricatures of ourselves, which is
it's going to happen, and it's inevitable, and I'm okay with that. Anyway, we got to go.
Bye.
Appreciate you, folks.